Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us tonight. We're going to be covering a lot of different sports topics. We're going to be wrapping up the winter sports season and also getting you ready for spring training. A live report from Clearwater, Florida, coming up in a moment. But first, we introduce the co-host of the program, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Groler. Keith, good to see you again.
How was the shoveling for you?
Oh, it was murder. I shoveled four times yesterday, and I still had to shovel this morning because, of course, all the snow from the side streets got pushed right in front of my driveway. That doesn't happen in Emmaus, right?
It's all no, because I put my car on my, because the plows come and I get plowed in, so I got smarter. Now I put the car, it's probably against the law, but I put the car on my front lawn, so... Oh. So then all I have
That's
to do
smart.
Is work my way out the driveway, and I don't get plowed in the street.
They're not going to ticket you for that.
They might. But oh, and somebody, if it's an RCN viewer, that would be great. But somebody brought the snowblower down and cleaned off my payment. So me and my wife only had to do about half as much as we normally have to do.
That's great. That's great. All right.
Good Samaritan.
Yes, that's good to hear some good stories like that. And, you know, I think there's one person smarter than the both of us in the entire northeastern Pennsylvania.
He's the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
I know. Picking this week to go down and cover the Phillies down in warm, sunny Clearwater, Florida, joining us now via the phone lines, Stephen Gross of The Morning Call. Steve, nice call picking this week. How are you doing down there in sunny Florida?
I'm doing well. I have to say, I can't take all the credit for picking this week. I conferred with my editor. I said, when do you want me to go down? We talked about different dates, and we kind of, you know, this one came about, so... I can't take all the credit for that, but yeah, I do have to say I definitely lucked out. Although the thing is, I really enjoy the snow, so I was a little conflicted.
What is
it was
wrong
nice
with
not
you?
To have to do this. It was nice to not to have to do the shoveling, but
yeah, you
at the time, I love.
Hey, you have a lovely wife now to do the shoveling for you. The one and only Jackie Palazzo is a great young lady.
Watching it pile up, and I didn't get to do that down here.
Mm. You can do mine. There's still plenty to do around my house. Hey, not only was it a great week down there to be there weather-wise and get away from the snow here, but Jake Arrieta made his debut. I know you were on hand for it. Look, numbers-wise, it was a half-decent first performance for the new Phillies ace. What did you see of him today?
Yeah, they were basically, too, just looking at, since this is the first time that he pitched a simulated game a few days ago in minor league camp. But this was, you know, the first real game that he was in. So they were just looking to get him out there, get him in that atmosphere, get him to start throwing all his pitches for strikes and making sure that he was strong and that he was healthy. And they checked off all the boxes with that. He threw 31 pitches today. 22 of them were for strikes. He did keep everything in the strike zone. For the most part, and he looked like he was able. There were a couple pitches. I know he said his cutter, it wasn't where he wanted it to be. You know, if he was in midseason, but like I said, this is his first time out in a spring training game. He's still getting the feeling for some of his pitches. So he was happy with it. The Phillies were happy with it. Overall, a positive outing for Arrieta today in his first game wearing a Phillies uniform.
What did you think of the signing of Arrieta? I know there's some skeptics out there that were saying, well, he's not the Jake Arrieta from 2 years ago, and you paid a lot of money when there's a lot of free agents coming up at the end of this year, and maybe he's just clogging up a spot for a younger player. But I think the Phillies did a great job orchestrating the contract. They front-loaded it, so they're going to pay the most money this year and then decreasingly lower amounts the next couple years. He's going to be a mentor. He's going to fill a spot that was kind of weak, especially with all the injuries that have happened over the last week or so. So I really think it's a good move for several reasons. But what do you think of the signing overall?
Yeah, I mean, if you do look at his numbers over the last, you know, year or two, everything was trending in the wrong direction. I know velocity was something that they really talked about, and that was looked pretty good today. He topped out at 95. He sat probably more around 93. What he dropped to, I think if you look at Fangraphs last year, he dropped from the year before from about 94 to 92. So it seemed like the velocity from that was up. And he said today, too, he wasn't going all out either. Sure. So if that is true and that's an indication, maybe he is back up to, you know, what his velocity was prior to last year. But, you know, regardless of his numbers, if you look at the rest of the Phillies rotation other than Aaron Nola, there's a lot of question marks. And I don't think... you know, the guys that are competing for this fifth spot, when they need it April 11th, because they won't need a fifth starter for the first week or so of the season, those guys, even with Vince Velasquez and Jared Eichhoff before he got injured, even like with the seasons that those guys have turned in, I think a subpar season or two from Jake Arrieta would probably be better than that. So just looking there performance-wise, even if he isn't the Jake Arrieta of old, I think it's going to be an improvement. And as you mentioned, just the mentoring part of it, having him around, having him in camp, just seeing his work ethic, the way he goes about everything, and plugging someone like him into a very young rotation where, you know, like I said, Aaron Nola, really, they're talking about, you know, maybe him, can you consider him an ace at this point? He still doesn't have a ton of experience. So putting someone like Jake Arrieta in the rotation and have all these other guys work with him, they can tap his knowledge and kind of emulate the way he prepares, I think is going to be great for the Phillies going in this young rotation going forward, regardless of how long Arrieta is here or how he actually performs on the field.
One of your many stories from Clearwater the other day, talked with Pat Gillick. I guess he had a press conference down there. He's going to go into the Phillies. What do they call it, the Wall of Fame down there?
Yep, the Phillies Wall of Fame.
And he's one of the inductees this year, correct, along with the late Roy Halladay, right?
Correct.
Gillick says, now, I don't know if he's intentionally lowering the bar or whatever, but he says, don't expect us to be in contention, basically, this year. We're a year away yet. What does Stephen Gross think of that?
I asked him the question where it was, because he was made a ton of headlines when he was the president. He might have still had the interim label at this point when he made the comments, but you know, he said, I think it was for the next two years, they were not expected to compete. I think it was going into the 15 season, and he said, you know, 17 and 18, those are the 2 years where you could really look for them to first have a shot at competing. And I asked him, you know, you made those comments, now looking back, you know, how did things go? Can you reevaluate that, you know, and what are your thoughts now? Because you still, if they compete this year, you know, you still technically would be right. And you know, that's when he came out and he was kind of pushing it off a little bit next year. I guess it all depends on what your definition of contention is. If it's contention for a playoff spot, I think there's a possibility that they could do it this year. You know, especially bringing in Arrieta, depending how he performs. They got two nice pieces to put in the bullpen with Pat Neshek and Tommy Hunter over the offseason, Carlos Santana at first base. And you have a lot of guys up here that it's going to be their first full season at the majors. So, you know, you have Nick Williams and Rhys Hoskins in the outfield, just looking at them two to begin with, that really impressed when they came up, and Williams was the very end of June, Hoskins was early August, and they really made a huge impact on this team and really helped turn things around and get them to play 500 ball for the better half of the end of last year. So if you have guys like that, if they even take another step forward, or, you know, J.P. Crawford could come up, or, you know, he's going to start the year here, depending what kind of year he has, plus the talent that they brought in, the veteran talent that they brought in, there's definitely the possibility that they could compete for a wild card. And the thing that I talk about a lot is, if you look at their schedule for how many times they play other teams in the NL East, you're playing the Marlins, who are not going to be very good at all. The Braves still could, you know, be a little – they're rebuilding, but they, you know, it's unknown how good they – how far of a step they've taken. And the Mets again, who knows – so really the Nationals are the only top competition in the NL East from what I'm looking at. So playing those teams as many times as they do, improving the lineup like they have, they could rack up a lot of wins just in the NL East, and then you don't need that many more the rest of the season playing other teams to be in competition for that wild card spot. I don't think they compete for the winning the division yet or going deep into the playoffs, but the possibility's there if they stay healthy to compete for a wild card spot this year.
Well, stranger things have happened, especially in Philadelphia lately. But look, at 2 weeks from today, I believe it's the Phillies home opener 2 weeks from today, and 3 weeks from today is the Iron Pigs home opener. Your thoughts on what we can expect over here at Coca-Cola Park this summer? Obviously, you know, they were a very good team last year, a lot of prospects, and then as they came to Philadelphia, the team kind of came back to the pack a little bit. But what do you think we're going to wind up with over here at Coca-Cola Park this season?
I think it could be a little bit of the same, as far as especially with Scott Kingery. He's going to start the season at AAA, so you're going to have probably the biggest prospect in the organization that's left after you. If you know, you take out J.P. Crawford, who's now going to start the season in Philadelphia. Reese Hoskins is going to be up here, and Kingery is not going to be in AAA for long. It's only going to be a couple weeks, so they are going, you know, to lose some talent right off the bat. The thing is, I think there's going to be a lot of the strength, I think, of the AAA team. It's obviously not set yet. They have to see kind of who gets sent down yet from Philly's camp. There's still quite a few cuts that they're going to need to make, but the strength is going to be that rotation, I think, for the Iron Pigs, because you look at just, was it 2 years ago? I think 2 or 3 years ago, the Phillies were looking for a fifth starter, and it was literally the competition was two guys. And now, really, this year, before the injuries, you're looking at five, six, seven guys possibly. You had the rotation set, and then when Jared Eichhoff went down, you know, you have five, six, seven guys that you're looking at that all have a legitimate shot to fill in for him until he comes back. So knowing that, a lot of those guys, whoever doesn't win that spot to fill in for Eichhoff till he comes back, is very, you know, either going to go to the bullpen in Philadelphia, and there's only so many long men, you know, you only really need one long man in the bullpen there. The rest are probably going to get shuffled down to AAA, so you have all that talent there, and you still have, there's a ton of arms in the organization coming up yet from single A and double A, so that meeting the talent that doesn't make the big league roster, you should have a lot of arms there. So I think the Pigs should, regardless of, you know, some of the talent that they'll lose to the major league level throughout the season, I think they're going to have enough pitching that it should keep them competitive throughout the year.
Our special guest on the phone line, Stephen Gross from The Morning Call, joining us live from Clearwater, Florida. Steve, there's a number of players on this roster. I think 2018 is kind of a make or break year for players kind of on the bubble as far as proving they're going to be serviceable Major League Baseball players and a part of the Phillies' future, among them Michael Franco, Cesar Hernandez, maybe even Aaron Altherr as a regular outfielder. Who's going to be most closely watched and who's most under the gun and someone that really has to come out and perform well the first 2 or 3 months of the season in order to maintain a regular role with the Phillies and be part of their plans going forward?
I think it's Michael Franco. It'll be interesting to see what the Phillies do with Cesar Hernandez because he is an MLB starting second baseman. He's been one of the best, if you look at his numbers over the last 2 years or so, he's been one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. So, you know, he can get on base. His defense has greatly improved, too, from just, I would say, 2 years ago. So he's definitely has a spot somewhere, but like we mentioned before with Scott Kingery coming up, the Phillies are going to have to figure out a way here to get all these guys on the field. And if Scott Kingery looks like is the real deal, which he looks like it, he can do, from what I've seen, especially again this spring, he can do everything right. He can hit. He can play defense. He does it all. His baseball IQ is way up. So you're going to want him on the field as much as possible. And Hernandez is not somebody that you really would want to regulate to a bench position, so that could look, they could look at trading him. So he might be somebody, it's more of a question for him, not necessarily proving himself, but you know, maybe what his role is or what team he gets moved to. Aaron Altherr, I think, is his defense is his best part of the game. It's just going to be a matter of how much he hits, but I think he has a major league job somewhere. And but, yeah, I think this year he might be more of a fourth outfielder, but rotating in more than maybe a normal fourth outfielder would. But Michael Franco, he really, the talent is there, but he's never been able to show it on the field. He's never been able to put it all together in at-bats. And the time has, I think, run out. This is it. This is the last year for Michael Franco, especially when you look at the free agent market. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. The Phillies are interested, you know, I think in bringing him in if Franco doesn't turn things around this year. And they've given him chance after chance after chance, and he's, you know, starting to get older. It's not going to – if it doesn't happen this year, I don't know if it's going to happen for Franco. So, and it definitely won't be in a Phillies uniform if it doesn't happen this year. So definitely that is the position, I think, third base to keep the biggest eye on. And you can even see, actually, Scott Kingery has played some third in spring. He played some last year with the Iron Pigs. The Phillies could even get creative there, and if they really like Cesar and want to keep him, maybe leave him at second, move Kingery to third, and they don't even have to go outside if you know Franco doesn't step up. So there's a lot of things they can do there.
What are you hearing, Steve, about the last couple roster spots in terms of the position players and the pitching staff? And I was really glad to see Jesmel Valentin. I remember interviewing him about a year and a half ago. At that time, he was still a highly prized prospect coming up through the organization, putting up great numbers in the minor leagues. But even then, he was saying, you know, he's a guy that seems to get it. And I think he's going to fit in well, provided he makes a team with Gabe Kapler and that new culture he's trying to create. A guy that, at the time, he was a highly ranked prospect, but he talked about, hey, I got to do the little things. I got to bunt. I got to move runners along. I got to learn to play different positions so I fit in there. He wasn't taking anything for granted, and he really impressed me. I'm just glad that he's off to a great spring, and I imagine he's one of the finalists for those last couple roster spots.
Yeah, he definitely is, you know, and there's not too many battles left, but for that bench spot, that's one of the things. And it's going to depend, too, on what the Phillies decide to do here because, like I said earlier, they don't need a fifth starter until April 11th, so they could talk to GM Matt Klentak about a week ago now, and he said they could get a little creative. They're not trying to be cute, but they could get a little creative with their opening day roster, mm-hmm. knowing that they have the ability to carry an extra bench player or somebody extra in the bullpen. I would think they would probably lean towards carrying someone extra in the bullpen, but that is just a guess rather than maybe a bench spot to start. But yeah, but regardless, there will be at least two bench spots up for grabs. Valentin is definitely a favorite. If I had to go with it right now, and there's a couple guys in the mix for this, I would probably lean towards Valentin and Pedro Florimon, mm-hmm. As two that have a really, really good shot to grab one of those bench spots and make the club.
Before we let you go, Steve, I just want to ask you about some of the more intriguing stories that came out of Clearwater over the last couple weeks, too, including the talk of the eight-man bullpen, which is interesting. And I guess that's all started with the idea of, well, if some of these Philly starters can't go beyond the fourth inning, so if we get a couple long guys in there, we can have a Vince Velasquez continue to be in the rotation. So there's the eight-man rotation. There was a story about maybe they'd have two or three people rotating from AAA to the majors, keeping them stretched out and kind of rotating them throughout the season. And then I believe we saw in the game the other night down in Clearwater, they were rotating outfielders based on statistics and analytics, and batter X was supposed to hit the ball to right field or left field, and Rhys Hoskins is the weakest defender. So they moved the players around, just like a shift we've seen the last couple of years in the infield. They're talking about moving outfielders around. Is this all part of the new era under Gabe Kapler, or is this just spring training experiments going on?
I think a little bit of both. Kapler has said they're not going to try things, I think, during the regular season that they wouldn't haven't practiced or haven't gone through, and spring is the time to experiment with that stuff. So I think they are experimenting, seeing how things are going. But he also, one of his big sayings is finding value at the margin. So anything that can give them a little advantage, they would like to try. So, you know, if it's a matter of they can move outfielders around to play the statistics, and analytics is going to play a much bigger role with the Phillies than it has, and it's been increasing ever since Matt Klentak took over. But I think you're going to see even a little bit more now with Gabe Kapler in the dugout. So I think that is something that you could see a decent amount of this year, things that you may not have seen before that are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But it's always going to be because a number somewhere, some stat somewhere said that this gives them an advantage to do that, like moving the outfield around. As far as the bullpen that you talked about, I do like the idea of an eight-man bullpen because, like you said, so many times last year we saw guys couldn't go deep. There were either an injury to a starter that, you know, now puts stress on the bullpen, or you had Vince Velasquez or something. And even, you know, Nick Pivetta and a lot of those other guys that filled in at the end, they had really had trouble going more than four or five innings. So now, night in and night out, if you're bringing the bullpen in, starting in the fourth and fifth inning, you're racking up a lot of innings on those arms, and that's something mostly with the starters, but they'll be monitoring with the bullpen too. They really want to keep an eye on how many innings their pitchers are throwing because they want them to be strong at the end of the year. I know the starters, in fact, they only want them throwing 25 innings in games this spring. So they even Pivetta, who threw yesterday, they only had him go two innings to kind of monitor that and make sure he stays within that 25 innings limit this spring. So throwing an extra guy, you know, having eight men in the bullpen can help you kind of manage those innings and bail out not only the other guys in the bullpen, so there's not as much stress there, but the starters as well if they can't go long. And really, there's a lot of quality relievers on the team, especially that they went out. And I mentioned before they brought in Tommy Hunter. They brought back Pat Neshek after trading him just before the deadline last year. They liked Hector Neris. I mean, right there are three guys, and there's probably a list of, you know, 10 or 11 that can conceivably make the team. So to go with eight, have an extra arm back there, I don't think it's a bad idea, and it really will help the Phillies out if they do get into any kind of trouble.
Real quick, Steve, there was one other wild story out there about the sensitivity bus that Gabe Kapler was giving to soothe pitchers' egos. Is that a real story? Is there any legitimacy to that? And can you confirm or deny the report that someone at the Morning Call has already given two to Keith Groehler?
I cannot confirm or deny that last report. I mean, I haven't been in the office either, so it could be true, but I have not. I would not be able to
confirm that report. That's good
enough for me. But as far as the Phillies, I think it was one of the coaches on the staff. You know, they started this last year. They upgraded the bus to get a bigger bus. I have not. I do have to say, while I've been down here in spring, I have not seen it around the clubhouse or in or above anybody's locker. But yeah, they were doing that just kind of like a joke to keep it light. And if somebody gets a little too touchy, just throw that in their locker for a little laugh and just remind them that, you know, don't be too sensitive, essentially. So that's fun when you hear those stories and you hear that that's something that can bring guys together in the clubhouse. Keep it light while also making sure nobody gets too bent out of shape. But I think I'll have to see with, you know, Jake Arrieta here now. That all happened before he was here. Nola was the keeper of the bus, and he was supposed to get little, I guess, guys and like little figurines and put them in there, maybe even ones that looked like the pitchers on the team. Maybe with Arrieta here now, they'll have to give him the role of being in charge of that bus. Maybe it'll stay with Nola. I don't know. We'll have to see how that progresses, though, as the year goes on.
All right. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the nice weather, and we'll continue to follow your stories at themorningcall.com.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Steve Gross, outstanding writer covering the Phillies and the minor league organizations for the Morning Call. Time for the trivia question to give you a chance at winning tonight's prize. By the way, we didn't get a correct answer to last week's question. Gabe Lewellis defeated which team in the first round of the NCAA tournament in 1998? The correct answer was UNLV. A lot of good answers, but no one had UNLV. So this week's question, which current Major League Baseball player has the highest paying guaranteed contract, not with any of the incentives for MVP or Cy Young awards, in terms of total volume and total contract dollars, who has the richest Major League Baseball contract as of right now? Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. We're going to be talking about some big-time Lehigh Valley issues, wrapping up the last couple months of the winter sports season with a lot of great stories to talk about. Before I introduce our special guest, though, the RCN lawyers did want me to make this public service announcement. If you were with us the last time that Keith Kroller had the pleasure of sitting next to Gary Laubach on the show, well, it wasn't pretty, to be quite honest with you. It was a little sickening. And so I'm told that I have to play this video for people that have weak constitutions just as a warning of what may happen. Here's a sample of some of what went on the last time Gary Laubach and Keith Kroller sat next to each other.
I've been doing this show for nearly a year, and this is the best moment I've ever had to be with the king. The king. The king of local media right here is Gary Laubach, the best broadcaster in the business. I'm amazed that some big market hasn't snapped you up in all these years. Not to change the subject here, but I think the story is this man's alma mater, the Wilson Warriors.
I knew you'd turn this into a suck-up, but go ahead.
They got to come back to their field. What's the name of that field? Gary Laubach Field?
It's called Groller's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about anything and everything on his sports mind. Mr. Groller.
Well, it's funny you bring up Gary, because I'm going to... Gary!
Would you remember? You haven't shined his shoes yet, too. Make sure you get on that
it's coming during the break.
And here he is with Mr. Groller wearing that exact same tie that he wore on Gary's last appearance. Sports director of RCN-TV, Mr. Gary Laubach.
Keith, why is Chris even here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think Steve Gross is answering one of his lengthy questions.
After that, I'm ready to leave.
Who should be here?
I know. We know that.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having him, too.
Yes, I know. It's a pleasure.
And it's my pleasure, too.
Wash his car on your way out here.
I might work on it.
All right. We have a bunch of winter sports season I really want to get your thoughts on. One of them is more lighthearted, and then we'll get to some more serious ones. But the big story the last 3 months, the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Gary, on your blog, you wrote quite a bit about it leading up to the big game and recapping it. Of course, Keith was there. And we have the man responsible, most responsible. Forget Carson Wentz. Forget Nick Foles. Forget the defensive line. We have a picture of the man most responsible for the Eagles' success this year from the RCN Sports Department. Mike Trombetta has a trophy. There you see it.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, your good friend. So how much do you think Mike influenced the Eagles' Super Bowl?
I actually helped take that to his basement so that he can now keep that. They gave that to him, by the way. Yeah, Mike Trombetta does a lot of work down there with the Eagles.
Yeah, he was on their staff this year, and
he's a great man too. He's not as great as you, but he's a great man.
That's one. Where's the?
He really is.
Don't think that trophy's real big because he's pretty short.
He said to say nice things about him. So is there any other nice things?
That's the best I can do.
Oh, okay. Well, then moving on. Unfortunately, the big story this past week in terms of Lehigh Valley sports is not positive news or celebrating great performances, but I think it's bad news coming out of Easton concerning their coaching situation. Jamar Billman, who was on our show a month and a half ago, seemed to do a really good job. Program seemed to be really taking off after a rare lull. They had that long streak snapped last year. It seemed to be coming back in the right direction. And then an incident occurs. He gets fired, and then he gets brought back. And once again, we have a coaching controversy going on when there seems to be a complete lack of transparency as far as what went on. What are your thoughts about everything that's going on in the last week
or so? Well, it still isn't all that transparent, number one. I mean, there obviously was an incident at States where a young man was not allowed to wrestle because a rule was broken.
Yeah.
And Jamar admitted immediately that he probably was at fault. And the family was upset. There was an altercation with the family. I don't know how that altercation ended. All I do know is what I heard is that Jamar just simply took it. Mm-hmm. You know, he did not... He offered up the fact that he was wrong. He apologized for being wrong. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the end of it until it got back home. And at that point, Jamar was fired. The story goes by the athletic director and the principal and that they were involved. Yeah. Once Jamar told his side of the story to the superintendent, whatever that side was, because nobody seems to know. Jamar's not really talking about it. He has been reinstated. Now the NAACP has gotten involved, and they're looking to at least get some kind of punishment for the individuals who took it upon themselves to fire him.
Yeah.
It's not a good story.
No. And it's a shame, too. And, you know, we were talking about a little over a year ago a similar type situation with the dismissal of a longtime head coach and Steve Shifford. And again, you had a story was presented one way that they're trying to get new blood and bring in new people. And then a couple days later, they bring back everyone but Steve Shifford. So why do we keep having to go back to Easton seeing this issue about dealing with their coaches?
Well, let's not sugarcoat it. It's a very passionate sports town, and there's race involved here, mm-hmm. too, obviously, mm-hmm. when the NAACP gets involved. So there's a couple extra components in Easton there that are not always in play in other school districts. I believe the AD and the principal have got to be forthcoming, and they've got to back their coach. I want them to back. I think there's a lot of capitulation going on around here where somebody complains, a parent complains, you know, somebody in the community, a school board member complains right away. I want more defense, because it's a tough job being a head coach.
Oh, sure.
I don't care what sport.
Steve Powell.
I don't care.
Steve Powell, Hall of Famer.
I don't care what sport it is. Yeah. These head coaches are really putting their lives on the line there, and it's tough to keep everybody happy. You got to keep administration happy. You got to keep parents happy. You got to keep the win-loss record up. You have to keep your aid. I mean, everybody's got to be kept happy, and I'd like to see more strength across the board from our ADs. And with secondary principals, I think the ADs mm-hmm. are generally the ones on the front line, backing their coaches a little bit better than they do around here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think Jamar is a victim here that will handle it very, very well. Mm-hmm. He has the job back. Let's just hope that at some point this is forgotten.
Why? And every time I read one of these wrestling controversies, I'm happy that we cover basketball.
Yeah.
That way. I mean, this sport's a little bit nutty in the sense that we've had fights, we've had all.
Well, talk about passion. I mean, there's no more passionate fan.
There is, and it's we know that because our hits on the internet, mm-hmm. Basketball pales in comparison to what we've been getting lately in wrestling, and this story is also feeding the news media cycle very well for us too. But it's not what we want to be reading.
And they've lost a bit of the dual meet tension that was created mm-hmm. over the years. Mm-hmm. That's kind of gone away a little bit. So I would think wrestling right now is hurting a little bit in terms of interest, but you don't notice that because of the passion of the fans who are still very
and our success at the state level,
yes,
which continues strong. With we had a bunch of bumper crop of champions
right,
again.
Right, right.
Yeah. And Tom Housenick, your colleague at the Morning Call, has been all over this. Mm-hmm. Another troubling aspect to this was that a quote he had from Marvin Boyer from the NAACP: Billman nor any of his assistants nor any witnesses to the event you spoke of on March 10th were ever interviewed by the AD or the principal. How can you make a decision on that high of a level without speaking to someone involved, if not also speaking to the coach?
And obviously that should not have happened. I mean, I think that's, give the superintendent credit. You know, you talk about backing someone. Mm-hmm. Superintendent probably was torn from backing his AD, backing his principal, or backing the coach. Give the superintendent credit. John Reinhardt, I believe, is the name.
Yes.
He listened to the sides of the story that needed to be listened to and made a decision.
But it should have been done
at the
principal and the AD
exactly.
level before it got to the superintendent.
The big question is, of course, and Jonathan Pineda, who I gave a shout-out to a month and a half ago on our RCN TV website for doing outstanding stuff on the mats and on the football field. I guess he was behind this mm-hmm. student protest. He handled everything very professionally. Organized it. In fact, I think according to Tom's story, some students didn't even know that he was fired. So he raised awareness about it, organized a protest. I think if you can take anything good out of this story, it's the efforts of Jonathan and the students there at Easton acting in a professional manner, raising awareness, getting the word out, and helping to bring about a change.
Well, in the news in the last 2 weeks, the students have been the adults in the room, not just here.
Yep. Big thing is, I'm hoping Coach Billman and everyone can move on, but this is going to be a tough thing to overcome. And you can say, all right, let's start fresh, but I imagine there's going to be some hard feelings and lingering effects going
on. He has the kids behind him, though, so that's the most important thing. Yeah, the most important thing.
You just coach, and if the kids respond to mm-hmm. you and they work with you and they're coachable, then you're okay.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break, be back recapping more winter sports activities. But right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith can sound off and talk about anything on his sports mind.
Well, just a personal note, my family, one of the most important towns to my family is Copley. In fact, my grandparents, my late grandparents are buried up in Copley, not too far from Ballyhead Stadium, where I spent many nights as a young kid going to Copley Legion games. Saturday might be the biggest day in Copley sports history. It's Saquon Barkley Day, and I think it's going to be a great turnout. Thankfully, the snow hit a couple days ahead of time. They have a couple days to clear it out, and I think it's going to be a grand day for the town that Sammy Ballyhead built up there. Nice parade right through Chestnut Street. They're going to wind up at the Sailor Park, I believe, which is not too far from the Giant, if you know the Giant supermarket up there. And a lot of big speakers are going to be there. It's going to be a great day to salute one of the fine young men that we've had coming out of this valley in a long time. I mean, a class act. We covered him in basketball and football, obviously, but even in basketball. He was not a star, but he was a great role player. And I know that Jeff Jones, that year that he played as a senior there, Jeff Jones, Ron Hassler was an assistant, and they loved Saquon Barkley. Fine young man, and I hope one last, he's had salutes everywhere. Penn State, Harrisburg recently. Let's make, hopefully, Saturday at Copley the best day of them all for Saquon Barkley before he becomes a pro and makes a lot of money in the National Football League. But I have no doubt he'll never forget where he came from, and he'll always come back here and be gracious to the people of Copley and the Lehigh Valley.
All right, a quick reminder of our trivia question. Which current Major League Baseball player has the highest annual paying guaranteed contract without incentives? You can answer either email at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com or on the phone lines. More sports talk is straight ahead. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Gary Laubach, RCN Sports Director, joining Keith Groller and myself. And before we get to the round table, we have Tom from Nazareth on the phone. Tom, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
All right. And yourselves?
Oh, great, great. What can we do for you this evening?
Well, I have a question for your panelists.
Go right ahead.
I would like to know what thoughts they would have and how they would control parental involvement in high school sports.
That's the million-dollar question. Because you need parental support. You need them. I say the morning call, we probably would stop covering high school sports if no parents were involved, because they're the ones that really read the paper and really care about the kids. But there is a line that they have definitely crossed. More so in recent years than they did back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And if I'm a coach, I first of all, I need the backing of my AD. I need the backing of my administration. And I got to know that they have my back. And then I set firm ground rules. I will talk to parents, but only in certain situations. Look, most coaches are in this game because they want to help kids. And they want them to get better, and they need to win to keep their job. No one that I know of has ever played somebody out of personal bias. If another kid's better, because they want to win. It's part of the deal. You want to teach kids great things about adversity and unity and so forth. And you want to do the right things. You want to be fair too. Any coach out there who intentionally wants to hurt his team by playing a kid because he likes that kid a little bit better. But every parent involved they only care about one kid. That's their son, or their, in some cases, their grandson. That's all they care about. And when those kids go, they could care less about that program. So I would want to make sure that my program has the backing of the administration. I have the backing of the administration, and what I say goes. Gary?
I would like to see the PIAA get involved and make it a standardized code of conduct across the board. You have a code of conduct for parents. If they break that code of conduct, they're not allowed to attend the sporting event. I think it can be simple. I don't think it needs to be more than 5 or 10 things that a parent just has to abide by. And if they don't get to see their child play.
But right. The PIAA has some limitations, as we know, mm-hmm. with the transfers. Mm-hmm. The PIAA has a lot of limitations, and they try to minimize and penalize the transfers, and they get taken to court. I don't know if they'll be taken to court over. I think it's a great idea by Gary, but I'm not sure it would stick.
Yep. All right, Tom, thanks so much for your phone call. And if you see Jahan Dotson, wish him a happy birthday.
All right. I'd just like to say one more thing, if I could.
Sure.
I think Keith looks about 20 years younger sitting next to that other panelist.
I got a haircut. It's my haircut.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Tom, if your cable goes out, don't blame me.
All right, bye.
All right. Moving on to the next part of our show. It's the Sports Roundtable, where we have a mix of local, regional, and national sports topics that we put before our panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions. All right, topic number one, we will stick with high school basketball for the first topic. Who is your standout individual player from this past winter season?
You Gary, we'll short, start with you. Short answer or long answer? I can list about four or five in contention. But okay. What I'll do is it's Ryan Young or it's Aiden Elwood. One of those two, those were the finest players I felt in the Lehigh Valley, but they're so different. I thought there should have been a co-MVP because Aiden Elwood is not the kind of player that Ryan Young is, and Ryan's not the kind of player as Aiden is. But when I saw Aiden Elwood score 27 points in one half against St. Joe's Prep, I thought, man, this kid is the best, most valuable player on a Northampton squad that needed him desperately. And Ryan had a great, great season. So one of those two, I'll make them co.
All right, Keith?
Well, I'm going to throw a third guy in there. I thought he was phenomenal all season long, but because Central Catholic was so balanced, he didn't always stand out with eye-popping numbers, but Central Catholic had a great, great season, and it was largely due to the play of Jay Vaughn as their point guard. I thought he was really, really good, and he made them go. And I know he's probably not going to go to Northwestern like Ryan Young. He's not going to wind up with the scoring average that Aiden Elwood did. But no one was more valuable to his particular team, a championship team, than Jay Vaughn from Central Catholic.
Well, you'll know he was third on my list.
Oh, okay.
Topic number two, going to the professional ranks. The NBA, in an effort to try to revitalize interest in the sport and this ridiculous playoff system they now have, in which just about everyone gets in except for the eight teams that are trying to lose on purpose and be ridiculously bad. So they have talked about, and apparently it's gathering some momentum, about a play-in tournament in which you'd have your division winners, your top couple teams, and then you take the rest of the teams and you'd have a play-in round robin similar to what you have in the college levels.
Right now 16 get in, correct?
Yes.
And I think the idea here is six get in from the east and west, and then you go four teams play in the east
each other
for the last two spots, four teams in the west for the last two spots. So it's kind of like a wild card, but it's a wild card out of control.
Yeah. The players don't seem to like it
look,
very much.
The NBA season is long. It's long. If you can't decide who the best 16 teams are,
what would the point be of the regular season?
It's only to make money. Is it going to create any more interest? They're talking about only playing one game against each other, or maybe they're talking about home and away. Well, what happens if each team wins one? I haven't seen the answer to that question. No. It's stupid.
I don't like the tanking either, but I'm not sure that's the answer to it. I mean, the season is so largely meaningless as it is, then you're really going to make it meaningless if you have that play-in tournament.
You mean meaningless, sir?
Yeah,
is that
exactly
a word?
Yeah.
I saw a story on CBS Sports on their website the other day, too, and it said there's an exciting eight-team race to tank the best. I mean, is that what the NBA has gotten into?
No, it shouldn't be. But
that's the most interest right now about tanking better than other teams that are allowed.
Well, the bad part is it seems to have worked for the 76ers.
And now everyone's
going to. Yeah, so now everybody's thinking of doing it.
All right. Topic number three, what's your excitement level? Assuming the spring season is here, I did see Keith's softball preview starting to appear the other day, so hopefully the spring sports season is here. But as we look out and see a foot or more of snow on the ground, what's your excitement level for the spring baseball and the spring season overall to start?
You talk about the locally or more regionally?
Anything spring related at this point.
I love baseball season. I love the rhythm of it. I know that's long too. Mm-hmm. But I love the rhythm of getting in the car and knowing there's a ball game on, going home, just checking out a little baseball. There's something about baseball with me that I can't wait for, and I don't care if it's Iron Pigs baseball, I don't care if it's the Phillies, whatever. I love the rhythm and the fact that baseball is always there for you. It's your friend from April right through the end of October.
And I agree. I loved baseball, and then I kind of stopped loving it for a while. This year, I am looking forward to it. As Steve Gross said, the Phillies are going to be a better baseball team. I enjoy listening to the Phillies on the radio.
Me too.
They have two great announcers, three actually, really, really good announcers who are really enjoyable to listen to. So I enjoy that just to listen to how well they do the game. And I think the Yankees this year could be unbelievably dynamic with the lineup that they're going to put out there. I'm not a Yankees fan. In fact, I'm more of a Yankees hater. But that lineup may be one of the greatest lineups of all time. Mm-hmm. I love the Cubs. I love Joe Maddon. So, yes, I am excited about a sport I have not been very excited about for a long time.
And, by the way, L.A. is coming back. Larry Anderson, at the end of last year, he said he was getting a little tired of the situation. He was going to try to step back and just do a small number of games. Apparently, he is going to be back for at least most of the games this year.
Well, that's good news. Very good news. He's excellent.
All right, one more topic before our last break. The NCAA tournament. This has been by far my worst year. I mean, I have one team in the Final Four, none in the championships. I know people love upsets and you know, what a great win for UMBC, 16 versus 1, first time that's ever happened. But I've heard a lot of people in the last few days say, it's too much. There's too many upsets. I can't even get into it. I wanted to see a big matchup, Cincinnati and Virginia or whoever, and that's not going to happen now. Do you like all these upsets or is it too much?
Let me give you a good example. I've always been in a pool. Mm-hmm. I've always been in a pool.
Yes.
Okay.
Not a swimming pool either.
And I didn't go in it this year because I thought, you know, the odds are terrible. 364 people are in the pool. Four people are left. Only four people can win it as of right now.
Wow, that's amazing.
They gave the finalists. I have Villanova as my final champion. No one has Villanova as the final champion. Had I gone into this pool, I could have, for amusement only, won that pool, and it did not happen. I mean, look, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman's still in it.
Yep.
So I'll watch every Michigan game that he plays in. Villanova's still in it, and that's my choice. So I'm still in the one pool I'm in. So I'll watch those games. And anytime I start watching a game, it's a great game. Mm-hmm. So I'll watch it. I love basketball.
Yeah, me too. I agree. It's more exciting. However, the TV people, look, they like these upsets. They love the upsets. But when it comes down to it, when we get to
the big market,
Saturday and Sunday, and definitely when we get to the Final Four, we want to see the Blue Bloods. We want to see Duke, Villanova, Kentucky, Kansas. The teams that they don't want to see Chicago, La Loyola Chicago. They don't want to see Nevada. You know, UMBC's already gone. But
and that's when they want to see them upset.
Yeah.
They want to see them upset at the end.
Yeah. Well, but I think I really believe that whoever has the Turner, CBS, who has the package here, they want four magical names. And Villanova now qualifies as a magical name because they have such a strong national following. So I think, it's great early, but in the end, we want to see the teams that we know, with the brand names that we're used to.
All right, still looking for a correct answer to our trivia question, plus our final segment, all straight ahead. One more time, a reminder about tonight's trivia question. Which current Major League Baseball player right now has the highest current total guaranteed contract without incentives? A lot of good guesses online, mostly pitchers. You may want to think position players. We could give a quick hint. But again, the question, which current Major League Baseball player right now has the current highest paying guaranteed contract without incentives? You can email the correct answer to us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Our special guest, Gary Laubach, RCN Sports Director, joining Keith Groller and myself for the final segment and continuing on with our roundtable segment. Topic number five, one thing different that you would like to see the next time the snow rolls around and we get to winter sports season later on in 2018.
Gary, it's an easy one for me. I want the EPC to go to play everybody once.
Any chance of that happening?
No, I hear it's already dead, as a matter of fact.
Got my
right
hopes
now,
up for half a second there.
Yeah, but I would love to see them do that. It's the only fair way to determine which teams get into the playoffs for the championship. And I know the argument that some teams, that you don't get to play your rival twice and make the money. Play them twice. There's only 17 games. Play them again. Okay. Just don't make it a league game.
Which some teams did, like Deerf and Central Catholic.
Yes.
They didn't play each other during the league, but they played each other and had a great turnout at the East Side Gym.
It's a perfect situation, 17 games. It's perfect.
Keith?
Well, it's not going to happen. What I'd like to see, I'd like to see them reduce by, they maybe go back, go to try five. This is, it's watered down. We said it last week. I think it's, I don't want to see any non-winning teams in the tournament. It's a joke.
Connell Egan was just 8-16.
Come on. It used to be something special to make the playoffs. You could put it on your resume. We made District 11 tournament X amount of times. And now it's become a joke with this power ranking system that is used. Too many teams are out there. Too many classifications. We got to fill too many spots. I know that what Bob Hartman has said for years, that the teams that win the championships are never going to have an asterisk there. They're going to feel good about it. But come on. There's just too many teams. And I think it's watered down.
All right, topic number six. What's your most anticipated spring sports occurrence? What are you most looking forward to? Baseball, spring sports playoffs will be less than 2 months away. It's hard to believe. There's some teams that have 6 of 7 games already postponed, and we're less than 2 months away from the high school spring sports season. But there's golf, there's Major League Baseball, a lot of great things happening this spring. Gary?
The Masters, Tiger's back. Well, and there's a lot of great young golfers. It's going to be spectacular.
I'm getting little updates every 20 minutes now. I mean, I'd have like one golf story like an entire week. Now every 20 minutes, Tiger's doing this. Tiger's taking a break. Tiger's getting water. So he is back.
King? And well, he makes me, you're right. Tiger makes me care about golf. I mean, I'm sorry. I've been one of those Tiger Woods fans. When he's in contention, my eyes are on the TV. I'm just looking forward to getting outside, getting to go spend time with family at Iron Pigs games. Looking forward to the spring high school season around here. Should be very, very competitive. Hopefully we can get a team or two to State College for the baseball and the softball finals. I know Whitehall made it all the way out there last year.
Yes, they did.
All right, only 20 seconds left in the show. Stone Cold Lock Time, something you guarantee will come true over the coming weeks. Gary?
Villanova will win the national championship.
All right, and Keith?
They're going to have great, poor crowds at Hershey Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week because no one is prepared to go see state championship basketball on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The Giant Center is going to have lousy crowds.
All right. We'll be back next week with another live edition of Sports Talk. For Gary and Keith and for Steve Gross earlier, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.